To the Batmobile. Let's go.
Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Holy smokes, Batman. It's Gaggle of Geeks with
Blake Howard
and Sophie Lai.
Zol's geese. You know what that means, Blake?
It is Gaggle of Geeks. So, welcome to 2SER's Gaggle of Geeks podcast. I am Blake at Blake is Batman Howard, and joining me as always is
Soph underscore Lai, also known as Sophie Lai. Hello.
Hello. The host of So Hot Right Now. If you're listening to this podcast, hopefully you're listening at another time live to Soph on So Hot Right Now. But this is the blown up version of the Gaggle of Geeks segment that is on Saturday mornings on 2SER. How are you, Soph?
I'm all right. What a week. What a freezing week.
It's been good. I'm really enjoying the coldness. It's great. I've got a nice jacket I got for Christmas time. Have not been able to take it out of the cupboard until now. I'm very excited. So, yeah, good times.
Seriously?
Good times on this end.
I was at the beach last week.
And yeah, that
today
happens.
I am in a beanie and like three coats. What the hell, man? I'm not prepped for this.
Nah, it's good. I'm ready. My body is ready.
Yeah, well, the good thing about cold weather means mooching on the couch and watching more TV. So
yeah, good TV time. good TV time and a good guilt-free TV time. Geeks in the summer often have to be derided by their friends and family members to like really push through, and then you can be like, oh, it's fucking too hot outside. I want to just sit in the aircon, you know. But now in the winter, Blessed be.
This is the time. This is the time.
This is our time. Oh, bless. Awesome stuff.
Bless. Well, if you are going to be mooching on the couch watching TV, we have some good news for you.
We do. It's very good news, but it's going to be so good that you're going to go have to re-binge things you've already binged. So Rick and Morty is a behemoth. It is the best adult animation that is kicking around TV or streaming or anything really of the last couple of years. And Dan Harmon and Justin Roiland, the co-creators, have been kind of faffing about and being a bit cagey with the season 4 announcement because season 3 ended. It was the strongest season yet, basically incredible. And then there wasn't any talk. So everyone was like freaking out. Like, what's happening? Is Adult Swim canceling them? But evidently there was just a massive negotiation happening between Justin Roiland, Dan Harmon, and Adult Swim, because this week it was announced that 70 freaking episodes are announced. So, which pretty much means seven-ish seasons of Rick and Morty for us in perpetuity. So like we're up to 3 seasons now. Last season was like 10 eps.
Yeah.
So that's a decade of this show, which is already planned into the future, which is just thrilling and so amazing.
Which is insane, because you think of most animations, they're like, you know, one season, 30 plus episodes, sometimes even into the hundreds. And then this little Rick and Morty, just 10 eps. That's all you get. That's all you get. Yeah. So you wait, now it's like 70 eps. What the hell?
Yeah, I think a lot of shows have also, or a lot of companies at the moment, especially in this sort of modern environment, have been really scared to do long-term deals just because, you know, you don't know if it's going to stay relevant. And, you know, some other adult animations like F is for Family, which is created by Bill Burr and stuff like that, really great, that's on Netflix. And same with like BoJack Horseman. They seem to go season to season deals, even though it's like they want to have a first look, and if they're willing to keep making it, they'll keep going. But Rick and Morty's been one of those cagey ones where we haven't been sure what they're actually going to do. But clearly, like, this is a huge renewal. And it's Adult Swim's number one comedy, cable or broadcast, among millennials in 2017. So they're thinking, you know, we have this rabid and really sort of engaged fan base. And you know, it's sort of permeating through popular culture in a huge way. And so, you know, and there are also some really angry, douchey Rick and Morty fans out there. Hello, if you're listening.
It's been really popular.
So
yeah.
seven seasons worth. And that may not be seven seasons if they do more than 10 eps. You know, might be a bit more ambitious with some arcs. But I'm just super excited to see where they go. It's just one of the smartest and deepest shows on TV. And both of those guys are extremely talented. So I can't wait to see where they go next.
Absolutely. It's actually quite funny. One of my mates, like, she's like, oh, you watch Rick and Morty? And I'm like, no, give it a chance. Just because some assholes like it doesn't mean it's not good.
Yeah, I agree. Very much agree.
But yeah, so it's great news for Rick and Morty fans, but it's, you know, it's been a bit brutal week for people in TV as they await the news of whether their show's been renewed or not.
Yeah, look, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which you're a huge fan of, I'm sort of a bit more of a casual fan, has been announced that it's been cancelled by Fox, and they've kind of put salt slash a lit cigarette into the wound by announcing that Last Man Standing, a really douchey Tim Allen piece of shit show, is also coming back, you know, to get some of, I think Soph called it in our live show, get that Roseanne money. And I think it's perfect. Description. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, though, guys, look, there was announcements, there was a big outpouring. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, in as much as has probably a little bit more hope than some other shows that have been canned, because A, it's insanely popular, B, it's been really critically well received, and C, a comedy like The Mindy Project, which was nowhere near as popular as Brooklyn Nine-Nine, was actually cancelled off Fox a couple of years ago and then snaffled up by the American streaming service Hulu. So the show kept going.
Yeah.
And so what it's kind of lucky about is that it's pretty much Hulu have said, you know, almost straight away, a couple of hours after the news broke, there was some other wheeling and dealing apparently going on in the background now as we read more that that they're investigating just keeping the show running on Hulu. But Andy Samberg is like the prince of Saturday Night Live. So even though he left the show last year to continue on with Brooklyn Nine-Nine exclusively as his only gig, they have a really strong connection with NBC. So if there's any possibility for the show to live, it may even, you know, which is super weird, jump networks over to NBC. And Fox wouldn't mind that because it'd still be making them money in residuals, as well as the guys making money and the show continuing.
Which is weird in itself that they're picking up a show that was cancelled last year, like Last Man Standing. It was cancelled by ABC. They're taking it on. And they're like getting rid of their millennial audience in a sense to get some more older audience. And it's like everyone's trying to aim for a younger audience. Well, they're just like, nah, screw the younger audience. We're going to go for the oldies. It is such a weird strategy.
So I think you nailed it, which is like Fox and Fox News, they skew older. They're a conservative audience. They're mostly, you know, there's a conservative audience in America and, you know, a diverse, you know, wacky sitcom that takes the mickey out of police shows and police procedurals, you know, definitely doesn't play to that audience nearly as much as something like a white only, you know, begrudging husband in middle America starring Tim Allen, who's like a tried and true property, might play. So look, you know, if Fox News wants their to spruik their conservative fan base with conservative based shows, they'll do that. You know, Roseanne, as you said, is that Roseanne money's there to be made, and that, you know, that audience wants to be catered for. So, you know, they might make a few more sitcoms. But again, sitcoms and networks, so what have we said? Like Big Bang Theory is one of the most popular shows on TV. It could not be a bigger heaving piece of shit if it tried. And then it gets its own spin-off
with Young Sheldon. You're like, why even?
I watched a trailer to Young Sheldon and I wanted to kill myself. Like, I'm not kidding. It was just like John Favreau's name was. I was like, John, stop, okay?
What are you doing?
Go make another chef, which was a masterpiece, okay? Stay out of Young Sheldon. You need to keep your credibility. I mean, look, that's like 30 pieces of silver. He probably needed a whole roof on his house. So much money they throw at these dumb projects, Big Bang Theory. My God, absolute nonsense. Anyway, so let's get away from terrible, terrible shows and just be hopeful that things like Hulu can snaffle in these shows. Because, again, you know, look at you and I are Hannibal diehards. And that show, even though it did end in the third series at NBC, there's constant talk about resurrection because there's so many other platforms that are out there that are looking for those kind of shows. And, you know, someone put it to me the other day, Soph. Someone was saying, I want an A+ show. You know, right now in this current streaming environment, there's a lot of B pluses, you know, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of 3.5 star shows that are out there, but those 5-star ones are rare birds. And so when they do come around, you know, if they do get canceled or their life ends, you know, if they're not just purely targeted for the money, these smaller streaming services are craving for that one that really cuts through both critically and as far as a cult hit. So, you know, we might, you know, things might find new life, which is positive, which is good. But I don't think they're going to ever be on the networks, you know, the Fox networks and that. You're going to hear about them more on things like Hulu, things like Amazon Prime, things like Netflix, and all these like smaller places is where you're going to find this stuff.
Yeah, because I mean, like, it's the cult stuff is what has longevity. That's the things that people will still be talking 20, 30, 40, 50 years in the future because it's that good. I mean, they're not going to be talking how great Big Bang Theory was, are they?
Well, if they are, you know that they're insane. They're absolutely insane. So if someone's like, how good is that Big Bang Theory show? Oh, my God, it's like it changed my life. You know they've got real serious issues and you need to distance yourself from them immediately.
Oh, dear. But Fox have also cancelled The Last Man on Earth. It's not Last Man Standing. Renewed that one. But cancelled Last Man on Earth as well as Lucifer, which is one of my guilty pleasures because who doesn't like a comic book adaptation turned into a police procedural. Oddly enough, not that bad as I thought it would be. And it looks like apparently Lethal Weapon might be also up on the firing list. And
Lethal Weapon's on the firing list for a completely different reason. Mm. And let's actually, Soph, can you queue up? I think we have to talk about the shit list.
Is it happening? We haven't had a shit list in ages, Blake.
Yeah, this is it. This one's a good one for the shit list, I think.
You are officially on my shit list!
So Lethal Weapon has had some, like, look, the TV show has been mixed. It's one of those shows that it's so terrible that I couldn't help but watch every episode of the entire season.
Isn't that the same with the films?
No, don't you dare. Lethal Weapon 1 is one of the greatest films of all time. Fight me, don't at me.
Don't worry, and I watched, I think, Lethal Weapon 4, like, probably several times because my mum loved Jet Li, so it was just always on in my house.
You know what's really weird, right? So Lethal Weapon 1 is amazing. Lethal Weapon 2 is incredible. Lethal Weapon 3 is an insanely ballsy film. Mm. Like if you watch a movie about a black and a white cop and about crooked cops set in like LA riots, LA, you know, it's a deep and gang violence and so it's a really deep film. Like the young African American gang members are being manipulated by crooked, you know, ex-policemen. It's a really ballsy movie. It didn't land. It doesn't have the same, it's got a bit more venom and it doesn't have the fun as much as the others.
Mm.
And so, you know, I think it sort of doesn't work. But Lethal Weapon 4, besides the absolutely frustrating, like terrible, like stunt double work, because you can tell that it's not Mel Gibson. It's just like a young guy and then there's like tubby old Mel Gibson there.
Yeah.
Besides that, it is a really great Hong Kong action movie.
Totally.
Like it's really high quality. So all the Lethal Weapons upon reflection are all excellent. The TV show, first of all, as a prospect, excited me. I'm like, oh great, you know, updated. Let's see how they change it up. Let's see if they can, you know, because it was really ambitious and different to have like this older black cop who was living in suburbia. It was like an idealized, you know, Murtaugh was like a Cosby version of a cop. And then there was this like psychopathic ex-Vietnam vet who was his partner. So it was like weird to see how they were going to play it. But two things happened. One of them was that they cast Damon Wayans. And I was like, oh, God, this is going to be garbage. It's going to be awful.
Oh, dear.
Because he's just not funny and he's not Danny Glover. Danny Glover is got a hilarious comic timing.
Mm.
And he's got a bit of gravitas as well. He's really cool. But they did the Riggs part in the TV show is played by this guy named Clayne Crawford. He'd been in a couple of things. But apparently there's been some serious incidents that have been happening on set. You know, he's been reprimanded and there's been things that he's been doing on set that are like causing a lot of issues. And so apparently they're keeping the show because it actually rates. But what they're saying is that Clayne Crawford is now being fired and they're going to recast Riggs in the third season. So really, really weird and interesting to see where it goes from here. I haven't watched a lick of the second season. I've only seen the first. And actually a fun story out of this shit list story, because the incidents aren't very nice. I went on there, but the show is really bad that it kind of puts you to sleep. And one of the things is that I'll kind of fall asleep and my poor wife will be awake, and then I'll wake up and like start the episode again, and she'll be like, I don't want to watch this again. I've just watched it.
But you were dozing like a baby.
I'm dozing. It's terrible. But yeah, so there's most certainly, you know, some, they're being a bit cagey specifically, about the incidents. There was precautions and proceed, issues happening on set with explosive devices and stuff like that. And some other, so it doesn't go into as much detail as I would have liked on what I'm looking at right now. But yeah, he's out and on the shit list for being a douchebag. But the show is pretty terrible as well, so that might get kicked off the air. So we'll see how that goes.
We'll see. Fox, what are you doing?
What you doing, Fox? What you doing?
Oh, bloody hell. But yeah, apparently Gotham are now waiting on the firing line. They're just like, all the cast members have their fingers crossed as they await their fate today. God, it must be grim this time of year for every actor and producing company. And
yeah, it's a time where shows get renewed or they don't. And I think some of these shows, they've got to know the writing's on the wall. Getting even a TV show, getting it to pilot and getting it made at a big studio like this is a rarity. And, you know, in this new streaming era, a show coming out or Netflix producing a show, you know, it seems to happen very easily. There's not a lot of stress. They target a creative and they do a work with them. But, you know, there are actors out there who've made 10 to 15 pilots and they've never been taken up. So you imagine the stress of, like, you get in a pilot, you do the read, it gets filmed. Sometimes multiple episodes get filmed, and then it just sits on a shelf forever, never goes anywhere. Then again, they go into the next cycle. It's crazy. I don't know how some of these performers do it.
I just don't find it a very good economic model, but, you know, that's just me.
I'm going to write a strongly worded letter.
That's just me. But all right, we've talked shit, Liz. We've talked about things that have been cancelled and maybe not cancelled. We'll see. But something, we are having a revival here. The Predator, Blake.
Yes. Let's have a listen to the trailer for Shane Black, the director of Kiss Kiss Bang Bang Long Kiss Goodnight. Iron Man 3. THREE, that is. Iron Man 3 and... of course, the writer of Lethal Weapon. Here is the trailer for The Predator.
Above the mission, did you see anything unusual?
Like an alien, you mean?
He saw something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And your men? Someone or something tore them to pieces.
I think they're attempting hybridization. They're upgrading on every planet they visit.
We need to know if you pose a threat.
We're assassins. Isn't posing a threat kind of the point?
Ah, favorite tentacle alien is back.
Your favorite tentacle is back, did you say?
Tentacled head alien.
He's got tentacle head alien. Yes. Tentacle dreads. Rasta alien, bless him. Yeah, look, I'm an absolute ridiculous fan of Predator. The original directed by John McTiernan. It was actually Shane Black, who starred in the original Predator, telling off-color jokes about echoey vaginas, was actually brought on to rewrite the script of the original Predator because the studio wasn't confident in it. And at the end of the day, he just added like a few lines here and there. He said, no, the script is the script. It works. Let's basically stay with it. So yeah, John McTiernan, directed, that masterpiece of a film, Schwarzenegger, Jesse the Body Ventura, Carl Weathers, whew, such a ripping cast. Absolutely okay? Awesome.
And, do we need some cold water for you, Blake?
I just one of my favorite. It's just one of my favorite movies of all time. It's one of those ones that I can watch at any time, pound for pound. It's so great. So any new Predator, not Alien versus Predator, none of that BS, but any new Predator stuff, I'm always keen on. And this trailer, actually, I didn't mind. I thought it would look quite good. Has had a bit of a mixed reaction. And so I kind of tend to think, I don't know whether Fox even know what this movie is going to be. So I don't really, I'm not a huge fan of the trailer as a whole thing, but what I saw and I liked is some great actors: Boyd Holbrook from Logan, Trevante Rhodes from Moonlight, Keegan-Michael Key's there, Sterling K. Brown, who was in Black Panther, and obviously the American Crime Story OJ series, which he's won a stack of awards, Thomas Jane, Edward James Olmos, and you saw Olivia Munn there as well.
Yep.
Like, I really like the look of this cast. It's really eclectic. It's unexpected. It's totally not what the makeup of a Predator cast would have been in my head, which, gets me excited. And
these are full-on drama actors.
Yeah, really, really accomplished dramatic actors there as well. But, Fred Dekker wrote it with Shane Black, and now that, he's in the director's chair. So it kind of just seems like fate, There's something really special about one of the guys who was in the original Predator making a sequel. It feels like it's in the family. It's in the wheelhouse, It's like it's been sort of grandfathered in to be a really good sequel. So I'm really looking forward to it. And I did really actually enjoy the Robert Rodriguez produced Predators movie, which came out a while ago and starred Adrian Brody. I actually enjoyed that quite a bit, but it kind of fell a bit off the radar for folks. They weren't into it. I think people have just been dying for Arnold Schwarzenegger to be in a Predator sequel, and it's about 30 years too late. So I just don't think it's ever going to happen.
He's not coming back. He's just recovered from heart surgery. He's not come. Well, he said he was back, but I don't think he's coming.
Not to Predator, bro.
To Brother. He literally woke up from his heart surgery. He's like, I'll be back.
I'd be back.
I'm back, but probably not to the Predator franchise. But look, it's got a great cast, and I'm very interested.
I'm interested too. I think this is a good one to look forward to later in the year. It's one of the ones that's flying under the radar until now, which is awesome. But speaking of not flying under the radar at all, in the most ham-fisted segue possible, is Soph, you and I have been talking about a little film that's coming out in 2 weeks' time. Uno. AKA Solo. The Star Wars story, the origin of Han Solo. And for a long time, Chris Lord and Phil Lord, Chris Miller. I always mix them up. Lord and Miller, the two guys who made the Lego movie and made 21 Jump Street remake, they were involved in the film. Halfway through shooting, they were replaced because their vision of what they were trying to create was misaligned to what the Lucasfilm team wanted out of the Star Wars movie, and they were replaced by Ron Howard. And for so long, you and I have been talking about, whose movie is this? Monster is this going to be?
Oh, is it just going to be mishmashed of everyone, bits and bobs? That's what happened with Ant-Man. Parts of it was still,
Still had that Edgar Wright flavor, and then parts of it just no. So what has now happened is any time a director's change, there can actually be sometimes a battle for who actually directed the movie. So with Justice League, where Zack Snyder's name is still as the director, and a lot of people think it should have been Joss Whedon, if Joss Whedon didn't direct more than say 50% of the film or like 40% of the film, he's not deserving of a co-director credit. Mm. So sometimes they might have put co-directors, but Warner Brothers didn't do that. So Phil Lord and Chris Miller recently viewed the final cut of Solo.
Yep.
And what they discovered was that pretty much 70% of the film had been shot by Ron Howard. So wow. The cut that we're going to see in the final theatrical version, more than 70% of it is his. So they are actually not disputing that credit. And yep. And Ron Howard will actually be the director of Solo. So there won't be some weird, like, directed by Ron Howard and Phil Lord and Chris Miller or something to that effect. It will actually be Ron Howard solely on the director's credit.
Interesting. Well, overnight, though, we've had a few first reactions. Some reviewers in the US have managed to see it.
And yeah, it's pretty positive.
It's very positive. Like, they're praising, most of them are praising the action scenes and the really strong performances. So it's something. I mean, considering we've held our skepticism for a lot of these past 6 months, I'd say probably.
Yeah, we're skeptical. We'll just sit back here in our skepticism. Look. First reactions are a problem, mm-hmm. and this is why I'll say this is like an insight. Is there are certain sort of big movie fanboy sites and stuff like that that will often do first reactions, and a lot of first reactions feel very effusive. Like every time you hear them, it's like best one ever, best one ever, best mm-hmm. one ever, best one ever. And after a while of looking at every reaction that these people talk about and they're all best one ever, you really become like numbed to it. It's yeah. like, it's like, no, I'm just going to wait. I'm going to wait. My biggest thing is never look at the first reactions. Wait about a week and then you'll see what the actual balance is. Because sometimes there's like 10 out of 10. And then when everyone starts to pour on, lots of other international critics, et cetera, it starts to really change the makeup of what it's going to look like. But I'm keen to see Solo. It's going to be coming out in Oz very soon. So, you know, there's midnight screenings. Just get along, check it out, see if you like it, if you like it. But if you say any BS like it's better than Last Jedi, just shut your face. Just stop talking. See the movie first.
But one thing that seems to be in common is they all are talking about how great Donald Glover is in Solo.
Yeah. I mean, he looks so great. He's just at the top of his game. So if I think you and I have been gushing more about Donald Glover than anything. So that doesn't seem to be a surprise. But it looks like a lot of fun. I'm hoping that he was always going to be a highlight. Chewbacca's my next highlight. I'm just hoping that young Alden can step into the epic shoes of Harrison Ford. It's not a mean feat to step into those shoes.
So it's 2 weeks out, so we can hold out till then. But the thing is, Donald Glover has been pretty much dominating the whole conversation and pop culture this week when he dropped this. First opening bars of This Is America. Holy smokes, Blake.
Yeah, look, it's an absolutely tremendous piece of work. Really, really, it's one of those great, like, it's a great track. It's a great track, but when you watch it with the clip that dropped, you almost don't ever want to listen to it again. Like the visuals are so intrinsically tied into how good the track is. And just absolutely blew up. Like Donald Glover hosted SNL, went on there, did a whole bunch of funny skits. There was a Kanye place was, if you can seek that out on YouTube, it's very funny. Keenan try and stay quiet every time they tell him more stories about what Kanye's doing on Twitter. It was absolutely sensational. But, you know, he dropped this track live in a performance because it was hosted as Donald Glover and performed as then as the musical actor Childish Gambino. And then he dropped the actual film clip, which is directed by Hiro Murai, who does all of Atlanta. And it's amazing. It's this, you know, incredibly dense visual document that is – sort of a bit of a tapestry of
being black in America.
Yeah, sort of American iconography in subtle and overt ways, and you know, really wrestling with gun violence and
racism,
you know,
and
racism and dance and popularity and meme worthy dance moves and death riding a pale horse and cars burning and Lady Liberty is played by SZA. You know, people, it's just an incredible dense piece of artwork. I was extremely impressed with it, as I'm sure everyone was. I've watched it like 25 times. I keep watching it. It's the very best thing that I think he's done. Yeah. And I think we're seeing someone right at the peak of their powers. And, you know, he's been growing, and he's been a, you know, an interesting character, because people have been skeptical about him starting as an actor and then moving to be a rapper. And then there's always been these questions about, you know, where's his skin in the game. Mm. But he's, the more and more that Donald Glover works with Atlanta and his latest Childish Gambino albums, and now sort of moving more into features and things like that as well. And as a writer and as a musician, people are just like, man, this guy's just an artist. Like, he just seems to have a perspective that is urgent. And, and you know, Atlanta is in and of itself pretty amazing. I'm very late to the party. I've been catching up this week on Atlanta season one, and I'm just completely impressed. Pound for pound, every episode is great. But yeah, this clip, so if I don't know about you, but I was just like, this is amazing.
Yeah, like, you watch the clip and you're like, how even? And then I heard it on the radio and I'm like, it just does not have the same. I'm like, is this even the same song?
Yeah.
Because you really need that visual thing, because it's just such beautifully made video clip that just hits you in the gut the moment you see it. And then you watch it again and you see more, and then you watch it again and you see like three more motifs that you didn't notice like the first round. It's just, you're right. He's an artist on top of his game, and he's so versatile. And everyone was really sad when he was like, this is going to be my last outing as Childish Gambino, late last year. And it's like, no, don't go. We need you. Do not go.
I heard something, I can't remember where I heard it, but and I'm going to probably butcher it in paraphrasing, but it's like, I reserve the right to change my mind. And also reserve the right to be, you know, to contradict myself. And I think that that's like, when I think of Childish Gambino as this alter ego to Donald Glover, I think that's probably what we're going to see with this guy. You know, he feels like he's a performer in that specific lane right now. And it feels to me like Donald Glover and Childish Gambino, like the way that he's saying he may want to end it, it might just be like an evolution. Mm. It probably doesn't feel like an end to me, especially after seeing that clip.
No. I feel like he's been renewed a bit.
Yeah, he's been refreshed, you know, and sometimes it takes that. It's like, you know, you think, what more have I got to possibly say? Mm. And then you live in America. You're like, oh, no, I've got some shit to say. I've got some stuff.
Plenty of shit to say.
I got some feelings about certain things. Mm. And so, yeah, I love that's inspired that. And, you know, especially in a week where Kanye West is just...
Well, Kanye loves it. So Kanye's just very confused right now, I think.
Yeah. Look, for anyone who's, you know, confused about Kanye, baffled about Kanye, there's a brilliant piece in the Atlantic magazine by Ta-Nehisi Coates, who is just an unbelievable artist and writer.
Yep. And also writes Black Panther, so pick up his stuff if you can.
Yeah, I was just going to say, a great run of Black Panther, in fact, that had a big influence on the film. So yeah, I would just say really strongly to you know, check that out. But yeah, this week was like Donald Glover's week to shine, and it's just amazing. He's just hit this peak, and hopefully that means that Solo's good. Ooh. Ooh. And if it doesn't, Donald Glover's still awesome. So that's all.
That's our only takeaway without seeing the movie. Donald Glover.
Without seeing the movie, Donald Glover is awesome in most things. It should be fun.
So that's coming out in a couple of weeks. Oh no! But coming out next week, though, Blake, it's Deadpool.
Deadpool, and the final marketing, you know, train is steaming full steam ahead. So for this week,
oh my gosh! Like, they released a trailer last week, and we were like, "Oh, it's the last one before release. We're not going to see any more marketing." We were just, in a way, mourning it a bit. And then
they did the Celine Dion.
And then that was Celine Dion. Yeah, it was Celine Dion. We're like, that's the last of it. They're not going to do anything more. And then they dropped two pieces of marketing this week.
Amazing.
So good. So,
the first one is an incredible David Beckham gag, which just gives and gives and gives again every time you watch it. So you're going to play it right now for us, but oh my God, this was so hilarious when I watched it. Check it out.
David Beckham speak? It's like he mouth sexed a can of helium. You ever heard David Beckham speak? It's like he mouth sexed a can of helium.
I am so sorry. So sorry.
Too soon? Yeah, too soon.
Lo siento. Amor, lo siento.
Tickets for the cup.
I can't wait to not watch Italy play the Netherlands.
I can't stay mad at you.
Healing hugs. Here we go. Oh, God, finally, that feels so good. You smell amazing, like cinnamon and manhood. Let's never let go.
No, we should let go.
Let's let go of this burden together. Just wonderful.
No.
Okay.
What was you apologizing for anyway?
Well, just the bit in Deadpool with the voice.
Doesn't ring a bell.
What did you think I was apologizing for?
I mean, there's a list. Green Lantern,
yep.
RIPD,
horrible.
Selfless,
terrible.
Blade Trinity,
oof.
Bolt Neck.
Woo! Bolt Neck was a masterpiece!
David, I'm so sorry. I yelled, I raised my voice, I lost control. Please open up.
Take my breath away.
Oh, what a song. What a time, Blake. So good.
Oh my gosh.
Like, it just doesn't stop. And I'm I actually did a double date when he came out with the mariachi songs. I'm pretty sure one of them is David Beckham's kid.
I didn't notice that. I'm gonna have to check that out.
I have to double check. I could be wrong. My eyes could be playing tricks on me, but I was like, isn't that one of his kids?
It should be. That's hilarious.
Yeah, so that'll be hilarious. But as you know, it's also Eurovision time, Blake, and Australia is now in the final with Jess Malboy. But
I don't understand any of this, Soph. It's like you're talking a different language to me. We're not in Europe. We're in Asia. We're in Asia.
And we love Eurovision. So they let us in. It's how it works. Apparently not for Canada.
Eurovision is so dumb, okay? Eurovision is like the participation award of events. Because we're in Australia. Anyway, so baffling. Sorry. Go on, Sophie.
So he's a bit miffed that Canada didn't make it in. Here's what he did to pitch it Europe.
Canada. A beautiful country steeped in a rich musical history that include the likes of Adams, Bieber, Young, Bublé, Shatner. And yet, we've been snubbed by that European sing-song competition thingy you guys lose your shit over. Our generous gift of Celine Dion alone should earn us an invite. And don't give me that crap about Canada not being part of the European family. You let in Australia, and they're barely on the planet. Well, it stops now, Europe. You've awakened a sleeping moose. All the power of our military. Legally, I have to use air quotes, but traffic cones and affordable health care will be coming at you hard.
He's coming for Europe. I mean,
so
if they sent Bieber along to Eurovision, probably clean it up, eh?
It would smash it. Justin Bieber's insanely popular. That would be hilarious.
Him especially or Bublé.
Especially if Deadwood came out dancing halfway through.
But he was like, Celine Dion should have been enough to bring him into Eurovision. And I agree on him because that was a beautiful power ballad that is totally Eurovision worthy.
Oh, it's Eurovision. It's better. I don't know. I just don't understand. So I actually don't have any clue. I'm like, people are like, Eurovision, yeah. I don't get it. I don't understand.
Blake, it's an excuse just to get drunk with your friends and listen to bad music. You know this is how it goes.
Okay. All right. Well, look, I mean, if any of my friends want to come over and drink, I mean, we can watch anything else. We can watch anything else. But yeah. So no, look, Deadpool is what is coming up on the show next week. We're going to be reviewing Deadpool. We are excited. I'm really looking forward to it this week.
Yeah, I mean, 5 more days. I'm just wondering what else they can drop in those 5 days in the lead up.
I think we're okay. I don't think we're going to get too much more. I don't think we're but like I mean, it's maybe marketing. One more thing. Maybe one more thing, but you know, right now they're also contending with Solo. So this is where Disney is really putting its trying to put the sword into Deadpool and trying to take some of the heat off of what's going to happen, because yeah, it should make a stack of money in its opening week. It will have no competition for 1 week, and then Solo will be out with midnight screenings and stuff to try and start eating into that Deadpool money. So people will be out in force, I think, in that first week, and then picking up Solo the following week.
Well, I hope Deadpool has a response, like a response marketing campaign when people go see Solo, and he'll be like, screw you.
Oh, that's what might happen. There might be a Chewbacca gag. Who knows?
So, this marketing campaign has given me life. Seriously, Blake.
He's like, you're like a marketer's dream right now.
Oh, he really is. Just out of the box and just, let's just do this. Let's just get David Beckham in. Let's just get Celine Dion in. It's like, okay.
Just a nice way to, you know, show that he's just poking fun. He's just having funsy funsies.
All the funsy funsies. But like,
No rant, guys.
Well, you had a shit list. So you had a mini rant.
I did have a shit list. There was a minor rant. But no real rants this week.
No rant. But you can listen to all our past podcasts. Just head along to all your favorite podcasting platforms. We'll be there. 2SER's Gaggle of Geeks with Blake and Sophie.
Yeah, and please subscribe, rate, review, and tell all of your friends that you go see a midnight screening of Solo with to subscribe, rate, and review, and look out for our review.
But bye. Till then, bye.
Bye.